Madam Clerk, could you call item 6?
From the Director, Department of Transportation and Public Works, and the Managing Director, Milwaukee County Transit System, submitting an informational report providing an update on the new fare collection system. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Grant.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, this informational report is the short update for the committee since January of 2011. Just to give you a brief update on where we are with the fare collection system, we have received bids on the fare collection system. Bidders made presentations during the week of December 5th, and we expect to have a final pricing from bidders on January 31 of this year. Following receipt of a final pricing, we will review the bids that have been received, and we expect to issue a letter of intent to award in the first quarter of this year. Now, the presentations by the bidders in December, during those presentations, they told us that they would need up to 24 months to have the system fully installed and operational. Now, that came as quite a surprise to us, that development of the smart car system would take so long. But I realized that we're not buying a product off the shelf. The project entails extensive development, extensive programming, and testing. But we do expect to work with whomever the successful bidder would be to try to get this timeline shorter than what has been projected by the bidders themselves. Now, I'd like to talk briefly about paper transfers. There's been some concern by ATU and our writers group about whether or not we should be purchasing a fare collection system that does not eliminate paper transfers. And I'd like to focus my comments on that issue. You know, there's no dispute that payment of fares and misuse of transfers has been an ongoing source of conflict between bus drivers and our customers. And we understand that. There's no dispute about that. You know, the issue is very real. And we are trying to address that issue as part of this procurement so that these types of disputes will go away. Now, last week I met with the union president on this subject. You know, we did talk at length about working together to see if we can devise a way to accelerate the process of phasing out these paper transfers. And we agreed that we will be working together on that. We also, during that meeting, talked about management's rationale for recommending that we gradually phase out these paper transfers rather than buy accessory equipment that automatically dispenses the transfer. Now, this is accessory equipment, and I'm on page 3 of the report, is referred to as a ticket reader and imaging machine. We've dubbed it as a trim unit. It's important to know that the trim unit would not eliminate transfers. Instead, it replaces the paper transfer that we currently have with a card-type transfer that is dispensed by a machine called a trim unit. Now, so in effect, even if we were to buy this trim unit or require that this trim unit come with a new fare collection system, transfers will continue to be part of the fare structure, but the difference would be that the driver would not be physically handing the transfer to our customers. Now, the trim unit was in fact considered as part of the overall evaluation process, but it was not selected as the best alternative, in part due to added capital and operating costs. Each trim unit cost about $2,000. And that would add about $800,000 to the capital cost of purchasing this fare collection system. In addition, each trim unit would have to be refueled on a daily basis. You know, that the card stock would have to be, someone would have to put the card stock in the unit. And so in looking at the time and labor that would be needed to refill these units on a daily basis, the maintenance cost of servicing the units, we estimate that if we were to go with that particular system, we would be adding in a neighborhood of $500,000 to $875,000 in operating costs annually. So given the complexity of the of this smart card system, it will take some time to develop it and test it. Our goal is to make purchase a system that will be easy and simple for our riders to use, and we are certainly trying to avoid extra costs for taxpayers. Now, I should also mention in closing that I talked with the chair of the Transit Services Advisory Group last week. The committee had a concern, about the continued use of paper transfers. And it was brought to my attention that the committee felt that they had not been briefed on the status of the fare collection system. So I've assured him that we will change that. We understand what they're trying to do. We have the same interests. Everything we do at the transit system, everything we do is about our riders. So we certainly want to work with our advisory group. And I've assured him that the concerns that they have raised regarding having input will be addressed. Mr. Juno and I did meet with the chairman itself, I believe it was in late November, and Mr. Juno attended a meeting last week. We're going to continue to work with this group to make sure that the information that they need to help them do their job is there, so I will be more involved in that process. This report is informational, and if there are any questions of the committee, I'll try to address those.
Supervisor
Washington. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm a little concerned when we start to get into these customized systems because all of a sudden costs tend to escalate exponentially. I just find it hard to believe that we just can't, we're not the first person to run a bus system, that we can't find something more off the shelf, a little bit more simplistic. Even the concept of transfers, maybe looking at the, I noticed there is a paragraph in here saying that where no changes are made to the current fare policy. Well, maybe this is a time that we need to take a serious look at that, and the whole concept of having a transfer, that you just buy a ticket for one, two, whatever dollars, and that you can ride anywhere on any bus all day long, and maybe that's just the route. Because I find it just amazing that we think that we're going to spend potentially $800,000 to read a 35-cent transfer or something like that. It just, to me, the math doesn't quite work out, and it's way too complicated. Just keep it simple and let it go from there.
Mr. Chairman, if I could ask Mr. Bain to join me. Mr. Bain has been one of our lead project managers on the fare collection system, and so he's very well versed with the system. Mr. Bain is our director of administration, is responsible for our IT function, human resources, fare transit, and procurement functions. Just to comment on the supervisor's point, I agree. One of the things that Mr. Simonis and I talked about last week was looking at what we can do now with respect to the fare structure, what changes may be made so that we can accelerate the process of phasing out paper transfers to the degree that we can. Mm-hmm. We certainly don't want to shock the public and just turn off the switch, so to speak, overnight, but we do understand that we don't want this to be a long, dragged out process, and we want to get it done as timely as possible.
Yes, if Mr. Bain has any comments.
Mr. Bain, do you have any comments right now?
I'm not sure of the question, Supervisor, regarding the transfer of the cost. So,
well, I guess my, Mr. Chairman, I would just hope that we would look at the simplest system possible so we don't end up into, like I said, our track record with some of these customized systems have become extraordinarily expensive over time, and that, at least from my point of view, if a change in our fare policy is needed, I don't want you to feel that you're constrained by that. If there's a better system that saves us money and is better for the public, I want you to look at all options and not be restrained by, you know, maybe an old policy that should be scrapped and move forward. So that's all I'd like to see.
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, that's an excellent point. And dealing with a system like this, it's not as much customization as it is defining the fare policy and the rules regarding the fare structure. And it's more of a communications, almost a computerization project than an equipment project. So we'll have effectively 400 computers out there on each bus talking to garage computers, which are communicating with the central computer, which is in contact with smart card reload systems, and also in contact with a web system that will allow people to automatically add value or another weekly pass to their card. I know that explanation sounds quite complicated. That's what leads to the long development time and the testing and making sure that all of that structure is in place. From the customer's perspective, it will be a simple system in that they'll have a card with their fare loaded on it. They'll simply tap that card against the card reader, and the card itself has memory, much like a computer. This is the direction that the industry is going and the direction that the industry has been. The benefit for the passenger is that it will be a simple system. So I know I'm kind of touching on both sides of the perspective, but your point is well made, and that's one of the things that we look to explore with the Transit Services Advisory Committee, is their evaluation of fare structure as riders and users of the system.
Thank you.
Sora Harris.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I would first like to go back to item one and vote in the affirmative. I realize I was a little bit tardy.
Anybody object? I do.
I warned you that I was going to be a little
I'm
bit
just
behind.
Joking. If there's no objection, will you please show the record that Supervisor Harris voted in the affirmative on item number one?
Thank you.
All right.
And I do have a few follow-up questions myself in regard to this new system that we're talking about putting in place for the fare cards. And what concerns me, first of all, is this dollar amount that we are going to be spending to sort of, I want to say retrofitting a little bit. It sounds like that's sort of what we're doing, is retrofitting our system. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, I would refer to it as a new system. Other transit systems across the country have made incremental steps to improving their fare collection system. This is one large leap, which is affords us the opportunity to look at what other systems have done across the nation and learn from perhaps some of their missteps. But it is a completely new system.
Okay. And I appreciate that response, but I guess we need to also think about not only, I mean, I get the whole we have to look out for the customer, the passengers, the public. I think that's a fair assessment on a number of things that you mentioned, but I think what we fail to address are the drivers who are actually putting their lives on the line currently to, you know, for these transfers. And I would like to see that, or I guess I would say is, with the money that we're spending on these units, this trim unit, and to be exact, maybe there could be a marketing strategy to help this process to be more streamlined, where we don't have to go to the paper. We can just eliminate the paper altogether and do a huge marketing, use that money for marketing. I think, you know, what we do too often is try to come back on the back end and try to fix our problems versus looking at it on the front end. And this is basically what I see is us, you know, trying to coming back later to fix our problems versus trying to address them now. So that's something I would put out there to the MCTS, the Transportation Department, to look at, you know, how we can use that money for marketing versus this whole trim system and really try to eliminate these transfers. Again, I want to stress that people's lives are on the line. We have bus drivers who are getting beat who are losing their lives, who leave this job stressed out because of these transfers alone. So we need to take that seriously. I also want to ask, too, what are the drivers' inputs with this system? I mean, are they well aware of this information? Because you're coming to us and telling us this, but when are they getting this information? Because it seems to me that they're not getting it as quickly as possible in order to make good decisions and help you in this decision-making. It doesn't seem like they're really at the table.
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, we do not always involve the bus operators union in procurements. At times we do. At times they specifically request it. It's actually quite rare in that the only procurement I recall in the past decade or so is the health care benefits program. But your message is loud and clear. And we, as Mr. Grant indicated, met with the union last week, and I expect that there will be follow-up meetings in regards to this subject. And it's a welcome aspect of the project.
Thank you. I appreciate you acknowledging this, but I really have a problem with how do you know that, and I understand you're in procurement, I get that, but I guess we got to do a better job of including everyone's voices at the table. I can't understand how do you justify buying a piece of equipment that's going to affect the person who is on the front line and they don't even get an input. That is a problem, and we really need to fix that. So with that said, I'm done with my questions, so thank you.
Okay, Mr. Banks, so you informed me that we have a number of times from this committee asked you to work with the union, especially on the shields when they said they couldn't do it with the glare. And also we had a meeting yesterday talking about the same fare boxes, and we came to an agreement that they will have some ideas exactly what's going on with the fare boxes. Anyone else from here? Because we do have a Supervisor McDavid.
Thank you.
I had a question on the new timetable, because I just believe that when we started this process a while ago, when this idea came up, the 24 months, I feel like this is the first time I've ever heard that. I mean, that's a long, long time. And I think the public was expecting something a little bit different. But I also value the fact that we want to test it and make sure that it works out, and it doesn't pay to put a system on there that people don't know how to use. Does that, Mr. Chairman, now extended deadline, or timeline, I should say, excuse me, does that harm any of our funding sources? Because I guess it's just so much longer than I thought. It's not going to put in harm our original funding sources for this project. I was worried about that.
Mr. Drassett?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, the funding source for this is ARRA funding. The time frame in which we have to get the money spent and reimbursed is 2015.
Okay.
September of 2015.
So, okay, well, we're pushing up against that depending when the bids are done. But thank you for that. And then as a follow-up, I know Supervisor Harris did a great job speaking on the transfers. I guess when I'm reading through here on your report, I see a lot of it seems like it's specifically surrounding the cash fare customers that we're concerned about. And I guess the way that I read it, it appeared to me that what you're saying to us in that report is that the transfer system would only be around for a couple months or so until the paper transfer system. It seemed like it was just going to be a temporary situation until people got used to filling their smart card. That was the way that I read it, unless I misunderstood it.
Our goal would be to slowly phase out the paper transfers. Now,
okay.
I can't tell you at this point whether that would be 2 months or, or 6 months, but our goal is to make that transition quickly and as smoothly as possible.
And then my last comment or question, Mr. Chairman, is I guess I'm just interested in perhaps for the next meeting, what are other, because so many other systems, I feel like we're one of the very last that doesn't have a smart card system, have, you know, so many systems around the country have, well, even around the world, have the smart card technology. And I guess I'm wondering, I'd like to know perhaps for the next meeting, how they, you know, confronted this challenge of the cash fare. Did they do months of a slow, you know, kind of implementation, or how did that work? What did they do? What did they see? That'd be interesting information for me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, we probably can't speak to that to some degree right now.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
You're not flying from the hip, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, there are about a dozen U.S. cities, larger cities, with smart card technology. Smart card is a contactless card with an antenna and a chip inside. And these cities primarily adapted smart card from rail structure that was in their communities. And when we look at a community like Chicago, they've done the incremental steps in their fare collection system in that they've gone from a very basic fare box to a fare box that issues a magnetic card transfer to incorporating other magnetic cards, which are more like your typical credit card. And now they've gone to the contactless smart cards within the past decade ago. And they've since eliminated their paper transfer because of all of the mechanical issues with those machines that distribute the transfers. So if we look at that as an example, that would be the direction we'd want to go towards. But before they made that leap, they had a saturation point in the community with their contactless smart cards. And I don't even want to tell you where they're going next because they have a fully functioning fare system, but I will. They're spending $200 million over a decade to allow people to tap their contactless credit card. So it gives you an idea of the direction that the industry is going and the dollars involved. We're a long ways away from that, and some of you may have been approached by people that say we should be going to credit cards. That is still an evolving technology. So what we're doing is jumping into a fare collection improvement that's not early 1980s technology, and it's not 2015 technology. It's right where we need to be.
Thank you.
Hi, Mr. Chairman, if I can add, we are certainly looking at potential changes in the fare structure, and to the degree that we can do that early on, we certainly will be coming back to this committee and having some further discussion. So some of the preliminary research that we've learned, for example, is that in some systems what they've done to eliminate paper transfers is to go with a one-day pass. Okay, and also in other systems, what they've done is simply inform the public that each time you board the bus, you will have to pay a cash fare. No transfers are issued at all. So we're looking at what other systems are doing, and we're certainly we'll be taking that into consideration as we get closer to coming back to this committee with recommendations on how possibly the fare structure can be changed to be integrated within the smart card system that we're looking at.
Mr. Grant, thank you, but we've been pushing this day pass for the longest since we're talking about this fare box. So that's nothing new. We just need to get this fare box implemented so we can have that day pass.
Okay.
Supervisor Bukowski, I'm sorry. Oh, he wants. Can y'all cheer for this man? He wants the cheerleaders and everything else. Supervisor Bukowski, you have the floor. You want him to clap too?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know what it is with me today with my darn compliments. Shame on me. But as the board's representative to TSAC, I will tell you that I think for the first time I recognize that the administration finally gives that group a lot of respect. I will tell you at the last meeting, Mr. Juno was there, Ms. Jans was there, Mr. Bain was there. They took both barrels from a lot of people, including Mr. Simonis and Ms. Walker. So I will tell you that from TSAC's standpoint, I think that we feel that we've been heard. You should also, Martin Weddle's on that, as is Ladette Austin. But I'm not going to belabor the point about how 998 needs to get involved with this whole thing, but from TSAC's point, I think that we're finally starting to, if nothing else, get some respect. They're coming to the meetings. They're hearing us out. And for that, I'm grateful.
All right. We have 2 minutes. Oh, Supervisor Hall. Hats, Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
Yes, sir. Hops, thank you.
Hops, that's right.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Okay. I was wondering, Mr. Chairman, if MCTS can tell us how much money is lost due to the fraudulent use of transfers?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, transit systems nationwide cannot answer that question. There have been independent researchers that have done surveys that have tried to evaluate it. One transit system in Seattle came up with a very low percentage number. Their primary problem was attributed to a free fare zone in the downtown area. Once those vehicles left that area, there was some fraud going on. It's an excellent question, and it's not a question that any transit system in the nation can answer.
I would add, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, that transit systems that have switched over to the smart cards did in fact see an increase in revenue.
And Mr. Chair, Supervisor, if I could just attribute that to the fact that that contactless card does the job of the bus operator insofar as validating the expiration date on that fare form. So when you flash a weekly pass, the machine knows whether that's a valid pass. And if the bus operator is distracted by something and is unable to see that pass entirely, they won't just let it pass. The machine will validate that. So there are some benefits to the bus operators of the technology that we're looking to adopt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A few more questions, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, sir.
Go ahead.
I know anecdotally that I know of an operator that was able to get on the bus apparently without being recognized by his colleagues, and he was able to use a transfer to ride for 6 hours. So that's one story from, you know, from one day. I know you are giving you're saying we cannot answer that for you, sir, but we know it exists. We know we're losing a lot of money to the fraudulent use of fares. I am personally very interested as a representative and a supervisor in moving towards these one-day fares. I'm very interested in that. I think it could be fantastic. I know it would be much easier to do with the new fare boxes. Also interested in some of these, the no-transfer fare, if you'll call it that. You pay a much smaller amount than the current $2.25 fare, and you get on your ride one way, no transfer. I want to explore that, and I think we need to explore it sooner, much sooner rather than later. The talk of the slow implementation of the new trim system, or the new fare boxes, is very curious to me because, of course, in about 10 days, we're going to implement some major changes to many routes. And you know, I came to this position from, previously I was in the software industry, which moves at 99% of the speed of light, and then from the newspaper industry, which moves at about a quarter of the speed of a walking individual.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one there.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz. And, well, we need not comment on the speed of our body here. That said, I'm curious, you know, the manufacturer is saying it may take 2 years to do this. My gosh, if I was in a business that took 2 years to get anything done, unless I'm making some kind of, you know, super premium custom guitars or I don't know what, I don't think I'd be in business that long if I had to make my customers wait 2 years to get a really good improvements and a major improvement on these systems. I do urge you, please, and I know you are interested in accelerating it as well, now, please press them hard, as reasonably hard as you can, which is pretty good. Get it done quite a bit faster. You know, we need this to save money. As you said, the smart card systems has resulted in increased revenue from ridership. God knows we need that here. Two more questions, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. What does it cost us now? I have seen the very impressive printing setup that MCTS has up on 17th and Fond du Lac, where the transfers are printed every day in mass for months ahead at a time. How much does that cost? I know paper is not cheap. I once published a newspaper. I know it ain't cheap now. You know. And second, you referred to the cost of adding the new cards to the trim machines, that used to be the new transfer cards that the machine issues. Well, it also, I believe, costs us money to pay the employees
to restock the transfers, and then the issues that follow, the use of the transfers, have their own costs as well. I'm curious, what's the cost us right now to print and deploy all the current paper transfers?
We have I'm proud to say that we have a very effective printing operation at the transit system, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors.
Yeah, talk a little bit about it. I didn't hear what you said.
I believe the cost, and I'm sure Mr. Bame knows as he's been working with this for the last 2 years, day in and day out, but I believe the cost of producing a paper transfer today is about a penny. Is that correct?
I would like to verify the cost because, mm-hmm. like any printing, you print massive amounts mm-hmm. so that you don't run out. Mm-hmm. Annually, I would estimate around $200,000, but I would like to verify that mm-hmm. for the supervisor. Mm-hmm. Additionally, I just would like to point out that the stocking of the transfers is much like loading printer paper into a printer. And when your printer jams, it's easy to open it up and pull that out and reshuffle it and put it back together. In a fare box, you never open that on the road. There isn't any ability for a bus operator to open it on the road. So there are certainly problems with transfers. And a ticket reading and issuing machine doesn't negate all problems. It comes with its own set of additional problems. And if a passenger is standing there waiting for a transfer and the machine can't issue it, it puts us into a position of having to deploy a solution, which would be a supervisory personnel with a key, maybe additional paper stock, and you dang well better hope that you don't buy hundreds of thousands of reams of paper that jam your printers like we all have. Hopefully that was a decade or two ago. You could run into the same situation with a mechanical solution.
I will echo much of what Supervisor Harris said, the need to think forward and ahead of the bend rather than dealing with these things. And, actually, on page 30 of your report here, it says, after you discuss the implementation and cost of the TRIM system, the last two lines, it says, the industry is moving away from TRIM unit swipe systems to contactless systems for ease of use, customer convenience, and reduced operational costs. I thank you for including that perspective, and that's why I think we should definitely look towards these contactless systems, if at all possible. And we definitely need to educate the riders on how to use them. Mm-hmm. That should be a big undertaking. I plan to help people the next 10 days get to understand the new express bus system. This would be perhaps an even greater change. So, yes, and I'll close by asking, what does it mean, PC load letter? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Huh?
The printer.
Are you talking about we move slow? Okay, we have two. We have two individuals. Rick Baxter and Pat Clemens, please come forward. Smith House. That's pretty good.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, fellow supervisors.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Most of the comments I think we're going to make was taken up by the supervisor. We appreciate all the comments about the union being involved. It just amazes me that a system of this magnitude can be put in without union involvement. I mean, here is our operators that are going to use this system on a daily basis, and we don't know anything what's going on. It's like, you know, you throw somebody up against a wall and they'll fight to get out of it because we don't know what's going on. And it shocked us and amazed us that this didn't happen. And we're upset. I mean, we have a bunch of our operators here today. We have union stewards here today that are hearing it from their members. What's going on? What's going on with the fare boxes? We haven't seen anything, any of the bids that went on. We haven't seen what they even look like. Nothing. And it amazes me. And the other issue I think that we like to bring up is how many assaults do we have here before something is done? 24 months is not acceptable. 12 months is not acceptable. We need something done now. We don't need to sit here and have more people assaulted. We don't need somebody being pulled out of the bus over a transfer and beat up with six ditches in his head. So if we can prevent one, it's worth what the cost is going to be. But we need a system, and I think Ms. Supervisor Haas said it earlier about the 24 months. In 24 months, there's a whole new system that'll come in. That system could probably be obsolete by the time it comes in. So I think that's ridiculous. So basically, that's what we're looking at here, is that we need involvement. We have had meetings since then. And I remember we've had the Shields put in, Supervisor, Chair, Supervisor, at the time we weren't the Chair, but Supervisor Mayo came up and said, you know, if we can prevent one assault with these shields, it should be mandatory. Well, that's exactly how we feel with these transfers. If we can prevent one assault getting rid of these paper transfers, that's what we need to do. We need to take action. We don't need to wait 24 months to do this. We need action now, and we need a system in place, because 24 months from now, that system could be obsolete by now.
Mr. Connells?
Also, just giving you a little history on our current fare boxes are 26 years old. We're talking about going another 2 years, they'll be 28 years old. And that's just totally unacceptable in the 21st century, that we can't move any faster on picking a fare box. From my understanding, the board was supposed to have gotten the information that was going to go out in the bids prior to the bids going out. Then we find out that the bids already went out. There was some kind of a problem with the bids, so the bids were reissued. Both of those times, the county board was not let known what was happening. Now the next bids that are supposed to be coming in are on the 31st of January. I know we're not supposed to know that information, but that's what we know, and it just seems like too much is being hidden from not only us but the county board as far as making a decision on these fare boxes. If Mr. Boehm is so well educated in all the different systems, there should be no problem with going by the technology reports that he had from these other 12 cities and speeding up the process of coming up with a fare box for us to use. There shouldn't be any more feet dragging, and I guess finally the union is very upset with the management system, because Mr. Boehm has slighted us and said that we don't know enough to be on the review committee, which is totally wrong. And Mr. Boehm said that we never asked to be on the review committee, and that's a big bold-faced lie. So let's, you know, cut all the crap out and let's get on. We need a new fare system to start with, and we need to, if we have to have an all-day pass, we have to remember to put those passes on the left side of the bus so that they are not accessible to the public, so that they can be distributed one at a time to the driver to hand to the person, because otherwise we're just asking for more trouble. The trouble with the system now is the transfers right over the fare box, and they're easily accessible to anybody that wants to come in and grab them. So, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Macon.
Mr. Macon wanted to have a couple words here.
Did he fill out a car?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he actually did. It never got to
me. Can I have a car so I can call him up? Oh, you want to call me up? No problem. Mr. Macon, will you please come forward?
Thank you. Well, just to add to what they were saying, you know, the company says that they have a big concern about cost. Well, if they had a concern about the cost, why would you pay a consultant $85,000 to do something that all you got to do is come ask the drivers, the public, somebody to deal with every day? You know, I can tell you right now, you go down 27th Street, and it's people over there making $50, $60 a day with transfers. right now, no, we can't tell how much money we're losing, but I can tell you right now, we got a lot of people not paying taxes because they're making money off the transfers. We got people consistently, you know, we got taking the tickets and splitting them in half. Then they said that fare boxes, we got fare boxes jammed now. So what's the problem now? We go them down the street a lot, letting people ride free because the fare box is jamming because we can't get it unjammed. So that was one of his excuses. Okay, right now we're getting more excuses from the company than they delivering. You know, all we ask to do is be, you know, part of this process. Just like the county supervisor said, we got to deal with this every day. We got transfers being stolen. I give you a report right now that we make out how many transfers was basically snatched from the drivers and taken off. We got a policy now that we're not even supposed to confront people about transfers, bus pass, anything. So basically, we just driving up down the street, and if you want to walk on the bus and say, hey, you don't want to pay? Well, don't pay. You know, right now, the system needs to be changed, and right now, it's not being changed. We back in, like I told the state, we backwards. You know, why wait forever to do something just like the county supervisor said that's going to be outdated probably in 2 years? So we need more input than we're getting. I know it's understandable that they're trying now, but that's what they tell us, but they're back off tomorrow. So we need to have an understanding right now, from now on, that we will have an understanding with the union and the company that we don't have. They'll tell you one thing and go behind your back and do something different. Everything is complicated to us, but not to them. But they haven't came up with an answer yet. So who was complicated to, us or them? Because they the one working on it. So I'm done with it.
All right. Item number seven.
Mr. Chair, if I may, could I just go back to number two for a minute? I know it's going back.
No.
Okay. All right.
Thank
you.
Item six is informational. We're on item